Now?
Whenever you're ready.
I'm ready.
We're all ready.
This is for you, Brandon. You got to turn that music down.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to this.
This is for Brandon. On a cold and gray Minnesota morn, Lukey sits in the tree, overlooking the corn in the meadow.
In the meadow.
With the browning on his thigh. But there's one thing that he don't see. It's a deer with a rack as big as a tree near the meadow.
Near the meadows.
Then one day in anticipation, young buck runs away. Mark gets his gun. So bizarre. Doesn't shoot. The deer's too far. Marky starts to cry. Hey, I'll tell you what, that's true, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell
you what, man.
I'm here every Sunday. I'll tell you, if you want to buy that CD, you can do that. And just go on my website or go to iTunes or something like that. And if you want the extended version.
I'm definitely going to clip that from the show. I'm sharing that. We have that forever. Yeah.
If you want the extended version, I'll tell you what, for 7 minutes, man, I'll give it to you and I'll autograph it. Hey, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen, everybody. That was for Brandon because Brandon mentioned something about in the ghetto a couple of weeks ago or something like that.
I feel like that was for me a little bit because I was the one that asked you to sing a little Elvis a couple weeks ago. So I want to personally thank you. It was for both of us, I think.
No, we both had a hand in it.
What about
I
me?
I want to personally thank Drew.
I can actually sing pretty well when I want to, but that's not.
Well, why didn't you want to this time?
Yeah, because this is a farce kind of thing. It's kind of a fun thing.
We were singing the whole way up to Balsam.
Yeah, we were. What were we singing? What was your favorite song?
Mock. Yeah.
Blue Shadows from Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Blue Shadows on the trail.
Hang on now. Wow. We have listeners that have never heard this show before.
Little cowboy.
This is the four-hour. Oh, God almighty.
My little buttercup.
Has the sweetest
smile.
A smile.
Wow, you guys have such great chemistry. Yeah.
We should be on the homegrown show. Can we be on the homegrown show?
Well, I'll get you on the calendar. We'll book it.
Can you talk to our agent?
Yeah.
Who is that? Is that
Stru?
All right. Yep. I'll set up a meeting.
He's our real estate agent.
Have your people talk to my people.
Hey, Stru, man, here the Four Outdoorsmen is Sunday. I apologize. We have too much fun here, but we laugh and learn on the Four Outdoorsmen. Sam's next to me. Mark's over there. Our fourth outdoorsman, of course, is Brandon behind the glass. And we love to laugh, man. It's a lot of stuff happening. What are you talking about, Brandon?
He was saying hi.
I just said, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. Anyway, so, yeah. Great week. Great week. Now, Mark, you want to talk about some controversial stuff before we get Kurt Wahlbeck on,
ooh.
Brian Butcher on, the 64 or 67-point deer hunter slayer, and Billy Moles, the modern-day mountain man. He's the Alaskan guide. He's going to be on last, but Mark's got some...
Well, why don't I just use this time to get a couple quick shout-outs out the way. We might have some more later on in the show if you guys want to be on the Four Outdoorsmen. Comment on the Four Outdoorsmen pick on Facebook, and we will read it. Shannon Crew says, been a while, gents. Full moon coming. Looks like he's enjoying himself. And Will Goble says, checking in from home. Got our limit of sunnies earlier today while fishing with Grandpa Jim. Thank you, Shannon and Will, for the shout-outs.
I'm more proud of Will Goble spending time with Grandpa Jim and not going crazy than I am him catching a lot of bluegills. Because being a couple hours with Jim Goble is kind of tough sometimes. Will he'll admit that, I think, but...
I want to give a shout-out to my son, Max, who's 4, who reeled in his first largemouth bass all by himself near Turtle Lake, Wisconsin this weekend. It was awesome. He had a great time. He didn't look too enthused. I put a picture on Facebook, and he looked like he's bored, but I was pretty excited about it.
I got a shout-out, too, for a little get-well recovery to my dad, Brian. He had back surgery on Friday. Picked him up from the hospital this morning, which is, you know, crazy because he can't have any guests while he's there at this crazy time. But, yeah, he's home, and... Hoping for a fast and speedy recovery. And then also real quick, my mom's birthday is coming up this week. So happy birthday, Mom.
Awesome. You have a lot of birthdays in your family. You have a big family. That probably is the reason.
Yes.
That's about half our content is birthday shout-out.
Cold winners.
What else was I going to talk about? Oh, I was going to talk about, for those of you that read the Outdoor News, Ron Chera wrote an article the other day, Ron Chera, as in my boss, Ron Chera. kind of criticizing South Dakota for not having the pheasant roadside numbers and stuff. And in the comment section, one dude went after him, but then now this section, it's a rebuttal. But I don't know what you think, but I think Ron's best intentions were to give hunters as much information as possible. So I think his intentions were good, but apparently some people in South Dakota took offense to that.
Well, I'll tell you what, the things that I've read, and I'm on your side, you know, let's give Ron Shira a break. Who knows more about the outdoors than Ron Shira? Obviously, you know, and he knows what he's talking about, and he's got the best interest of the hunters and the public and the wildlife in mind all the time. So
I agree.
Give the guy a break, and a lot of people are now responding positively to his comments. And
I do understand the kind of balance, right? So you have the local hunters who don't want to see anyone else come and shoot their birds.
Yeah.
But you have the state and everyone else and all the businesses that rely almost 100% on all the traveling hunters, right? So there's two sides to every tale, but I understand.
I see what you did there with tail, rooster tail.
I didn't really mean that, but it just came out that well. But I see both sides of, you know, the traveling hunter kind of situation, but you know, these are everyone's property, right?
You know, in the same vein, whatever it could be, Brian Butcher is our third guest today, and he'll be on at 6. No, he's the first guest. 6:20, and he shot that 67-point buck in Kansas. And if you ever saw the photograph of it or the videos of some of his interviews, it is a real, real strange rack. And it's an older deer, obviously, and it's been around for 5, 6, 7. Who knows how old the deer is? And somebody
107.
And somebody commented negatively, like against Ron Shira, how terrible it was to shoot this majestic animal. And somebody else got back and said, "So what do you want? In about 3 weeks for it to get hit by a car and just lay in the ditch?" That's what's going to happen.
You see a lot of that stuff too with albino deers.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, don't shoot it. It's like, it's going to die eventually.
Sunburn.
I tell you what.
Here we go.
I wouldn't shoot an albino deer. I don't think I would. Brandon, would you shoot an albino deer?
You're darn right I would.
Boy. I saw an albino squirrel
today.
I don't think
I would. I think I'd probably take a
You mean
a
to
photo
tell me if
something.
There was an albino deer that was 185 inches and you knew that it was six and a half years old and you wouldn't. What if it was limping?
It had a cane. He was ready to die.
All right, if I ask him how old you are, and he says I'm 6, he's down, pal. that animal is down. I'll tell you, that's a tough question. I'd probably say I wouldn't shoot a white deer, but I probably would if it was a big one. I guess I don't know.
It's different.
So you're a hypocrite then.
Are they Are they protected?
No,
they're not.
No. Here's the deal. It's going to be a different situation when you're 15 feet up in a stand. You know, looking at your phone at Facebook, and all of a sudden you look up, and there's a 180-inch albino deer giving you the shot. You're going to take the shot.
You know, I'll tell you what, I guess I am being hypocritical, because when I was younger, I shot probably 4 or 5 albino squirrels.
I saw one today.
Did
you? At my mom's, I saw one.
Yeah, so it's I guess I would do that.
There
you
go.
I apologize. Well, thanks for Oh, look at this guy. He took a picture. Sam just showed me a picture of the albino squirrel.
That is a very white squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would shoot it. I know you would, because I know your soul.
Hey, did I tell you what? We got a call already? Kurt Wahlbeck. Kurt, are you on the air, Farron?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Every day's a gift. We're talking to Kurt Wahlbeck, and Kurt is a friend of mine. He's with Outdoor Bound TV on ABC. Been around for a long, long time. He's in the woods 250 days a year, and he's all over the place. He fishes, he hunts, he goes to New Zealand every year for Red Stag, and I love your television show, but we're not going to talk much about the Outdoor Bound TV today, because I want you to talk about Devil's Lake and give us a report, because a fishing report. You just came back from Devil's Lake, right? Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Yeah, we sure did. We just got back and had just a load of fun out there. The fishing is on fire right now, despite these hot temperatures. You know, typically when we get in this time of summer, you think we've got to the doldrums of summer and the fish really, you know, don't cooperate. We had a fantastic trip out there.
How was the weather? You're saying it was hot the entire time you were there and you still caught fish?
You know, it really was. It was warm, probably mid-80s most days. And, you know, with that, you're going to get some wind. Anytime you get those real hot temperatures, you're going to get wind. So you just need to play that wind. We had a lot of winds out of the west and southwest, so naturally we fished a lot of the east side of the lake. And I tell you, the walleyes were really very, very active. We found walleyes in really 3 different methods. We started pulling just crankbaits in about 12 to 14 feet of water. We were pulling the jointed BK series and then the Rapala Ridgeline series, the PK Ridgeline series. And picked up fish. They seemed to like the silver color. And again, it was kind of that 12 to 14 feet of water. a lot of fish in that 16 to 22 inch range. So a ton of fun, you know, good eaters in there definitely, but some big enough fish to make it interesting. We also went, we thought, well, let's try maybe see if we could find something a little bit deeper, a little bigger. So we pulled some bottom bouncers, and we're pulling bouncers in 16 to 18 feet of water, and there we're using that PK wobbler with either a crawler or a, we did try it with leeches as well. Both worked equally as good and found some pretty good fish, again, in that probably 20 to 24 inch range there.
Wow, that's good.
You have to cover a lot of water, but we found them.
Well, if you wanted to cover a lot of water, you sure can there. There's 170,000 acres of water there.
There sure is. That's exactly. Yeah, there's no shortage of water to cover. But what was interesting, when we'd find bigger pods of fish while we were bottom bouncing, we'd stop, we'd reel up the bottom bouncers, and we went to slip bobbers with just a small jig, like an eighth-ounce jig and a leech. And most of these fish were probably 20 to 24 feet of water, and we tried to position close to them, slip bobber over the top, and that's where we got our biggest fish, 22 to 24 inch fish using the slip bobber, and again, about 20 to 24 feet of water.
You know, we're talking with Kurt Wahlbeck. He's with Outdoor Bound TV on ABC, and of course, if you love the outdoors, you have seen his television show many, many times. He's been on for a number of years. Good friend of ours. I tell you what, we're excited about going to Devil's Lake next week, and that's the reason I'm having you on, because Devil's Lake Tourism is our premier sponsor, have been for many, many years. And for the first time, we've been going up there for 6 or 7 years, the first time, Kurt, for the hell of it, since we were sponsored by Devil's Lake Tourism, not just Devil's Lake itself, we're going to do the whole shebang, and we are going to hire a guide. We've never done it. And so Mark Lukey doesn't want to take his new Alumacraft up there. We're going to hire a guide and take care of us. And we hired somebody named Jason from Perch Eyes. Came highly recommended by Susie from Devil's Lake Tourism. And Jason's going to take us out for 5 or 6 hours on the 5th, 6th or 7th, I think, of August. And I'm looking forward to seeing exactly how that's going to work. And maybe go out Saturday and Sunday a little bit as well. But having someone take care of me is my kind of fishing.
And you know what? It's the right place to do it. You can't go wrong up there. There are some fantastic guides there. They spend a lot of time on the water. And I love Devil's Lake. I know you guys have been going up there for years.
Yep.
We've been fishing that for probably 5, 6 years. I love going there. You know, you go to the guys at Newbies Ace Hardware, and they tell you what's going on, what bait you need, what color you need. You know, you go to the hotels, and everybody there is there to help. No matter where you go in Devil's Lake, they're ready to help you catch fish, and that's really cool. You don't find that everywhere.
Now, were you there to shoot a show, or what were you doing up there?
We did. We were fishing, actually, with Mike Leonarduzzi from Team Cabela's. He's a walleye tournament angler. And we spent a few days with Mike out on the lake, and we kind of treated it as a tournament. We went in there and said, okay, let's just use the tools and see what we can find, and we did that and just really had a ton of fun.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. And again, Kurt Wahlbeck, Outdoor Bound TV, thanks for being with us, and thanks for supporting Devil's Lake as well. Do you think, now, obviously, we're going up there in a week or so, the weather might be different, but the same tactics that you used might work for us as well? You just got to keep trying different things?
You know, that's it. Cover some water. We're in that midsummer time frame now, right? The water temps are warmed up. The fish are going to be on those, relating the structure in those mid-lake hump areas. But I tell you what, whatever you do, don't miss this. The white bass, an hour or two before dark when the wind settles down, go into the shallows, and I'm talking 4 to 6 to maybe 8 feet of water, and you fish them like redfish. We tied on just a regular PK Ridgeline crankbait. And you stand there and you watch for them to surface. And when they do, you throw to them. And I'm telling you, game on. It's just like catching redfish.
Oh, fun.
That sounds really fun.
And they're fighters as well?
Oh, I tell you, pound for pound, they are the best fighting fish you will. I mean, we had some doggone much fun. We're, you know, here we are sitting out. We're supposed to be filming a TV show, and we're acting like a bunch of kids laughing like crazy.
That's
having
funny.
Just a load of fun catching those fish.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We've got a couple of minutes here, but I'm gonna give you a little shout out here, because your sponsor, one of your big sponsors, is Mountain Dew. I had a chance to fish with Kurt a couple of times. He's got this big old Mountain Dew boat wrapped in Mountain Dew. It's a beautiful green boat. But I was reading something today about Mountain Dew Outdoor Stimulus Program. Describe that to us, and we're gonna post that, or maybe Mark already did.
We already did. Yeah.
Check
out the Four Outdoorsman Facebook page.
Yeah. So tell us all about Mountain Dew Outdoor Stimulus.
you know, this is really cool. Not too many times do some of these big companies, you know, big worldwide companies get so involved in the outdoors, and Mountain Dew's really stepped up. What they've done is they offered a stimulus where you can actually take a photo of your fishing license or hunting license, submit it to them. They have, there's a website, and go right to the Four Outdoorsmen to get that link, and you submit a photo of your license, and they'll reimburse your license costs back. And they're doing that every day. The first, I believe it's 100 people in every day. It opens at 9 a.m. Central. So you want to get your photos in as close to 9 a.m. as you can. And they're going to do that. They've already done one round to $100,000, and it was gone in one day. So they've just announced the second round, and they're going to break it out to give everybody a chance. So they're going to do $2,000 a day over all of the summer, right up through Labor Day.
So you're telling me that a lot of people drink Mountain Dew and Pepsi products, right?
That's exactly right. And this, and if you don't, this is a great excuse, because, you know, what folks have ever stepped up like that to offer, in this case, $200,000
wow.
back.
That's crazy.
In real dollars back to you for buying hunting and fishing licenses.
That is really, really cool. I'm glad I happened to see that. I'm glad Mark posted that on the Four Outdoorsman's website. All right, Kurt Walbeck, Outdoor Bound TV, tell us where we can watch you on Sunday. I think it's Sunday mornings, isn't it? What day are you on? Forget.
Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings. I've checked local listings, but ABC stations throughout the Midwest,
yep,
and Wild TV in Canada.
You're a nice friend. Take care of yourself, and thanks for reporting on Devil's Lake. Take care.
Hey, take care, guys. Nice talking to you.
You bet. That's about as nice a man you're going to find in the outdoor industry, but there's a lot of them. We meet a lot of them all the time, but I've had a chance to meet him a couple of times, fish with him in the Wisconsin Governor's Opener, and he just came up to my cabin one day, said, hey, let's go fishing. And that was just a nice, nice man.
That excites me about Devil's Lake.
Oh, it's going to be fun. And
yeah,
the white fish thing sounds fun.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'd do that all day, man.
I would do that all day.
Yeah. So he knows what he's talking about. And to tell you what, we talked about it. How can a big company like, I think Mountain Dew is part of Pepsi Products, I believe. And that's a lot of money they're giving back to saying, listen, get in the outdoors. That's the kind of company that we want on our side.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, it's also like a kind of a good statement from a big company like that they're coming out and standing up for the outdoors and, like, you know, getting people to get outdoors into hunting and fishing. You don't see that a lot, you know. Usually with all the political crap going on, it's always the latter part of that, or the worst part of it, I should say.
Maybe a lot more people are drinking Pepsi products right now with the coronavirus stuff going on. They're sitting home and doing their thing. Hey, speaking about the outdoors, you had a few things on your trail camera, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I'm excited about it. You know, I just put cameras out the first time on this property, and when you get some nice bucks in the first couple pictures, it excites you. You know, there's good genetics and fires me up for sure.
I'm surprised that I saw a couple of these. We're talking with Sam, of course, to my left, and he's got a couple of, 40 acres or so?
Yeah, 42. Bethel.
And I'm surprised that the bucks that I saw had racks as big as they did already. But
I mean, like I said, that excited me because good genetics. That's all you can ask for.
It's like fishing with a Vexilar, man. You got to see what's down there. Hey, we'll be right back, right? Be right back with Brian Butcher, the gentleman who shot a 67-point buck, really, in the state of Kansas. And believe it or not, he's from Andover. Be right back.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the Four Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
Devil's Lake Tourism invites you to the wonderful world of the outdoors. Not only is there jumbo perch, there's fantastic walleye fishing with no slot limit and 10 in possession, and there's more. Plenty of hiking trails, world-class hunting, great eateries, hotels, even a nearby casino. There is literally something for everyone who loves the outdoors. You need to find out why Devil's Lake has been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in the United States. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota. If you need a northern Minnesota family vacation, then Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park just might be it. Balsam Beach is the exclusive resort on the 2,500 pristine acres of Lake Plantagenet, with not only superb fishing, but plenty of family activities as well. Water sports, camping, hiking, everything is dedicated to your family. And Patty and Clint were awarded Resorters of the Year in 2019. It's time to find out why. Balsam Beach, a wonderful place with wonderful people.
Jeff Jones here, and the hunt is still on. That's right. The 2020 Cackle and Spur Charity Pheasant Hunt is still on for Wednesday, September 30th at Sandpine Pheasants and Gold Meadows Hunting Preserve. Sandpines is sold out, but we still have room to hunt at Gold Meadows. Get in on the games, the guns and prizes, and fun while raising money to help people with disabilities and mental illness. Sign up now before it's too late. Text CACKLE to 76278 or go to reachforresources.org to join the hunt.
Gold Meadows Hunting Preserve in Richmond is offering a chance to win a free 20-bird pheasant hunt when you call and sign up for the pre-buy program in advance at Gold Meadows 320-597-2747. By July 31st, you get a chance to win a free 20-bird pheasant hunt and save on your hunt. August through September pre-buy is $19.50 per bird. October through December, $21.50 per bird. Pre-buy today and get entered for the drawing for the 20-bird pheasant hunt at Gold Meadows Hunting Preserve. Hunting fun for the family, corporate groups, and parties. Look them up at goldmeadows.com and pre-buy today at 320-597-2747.
Text us to receive up to 5 marketing texts sent via automated technology to your number. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Membership automatically renews. Cancel anytime.
Hi, you ever heard of Beachbody On Demand? Hold on a second. Here is your free membership. I'm Carl Deichler, the CEO of Beachbody, and I just sent a free membership to another customer. And I'm giving away 10,000 free memberships a week to anyone who texts me right now to try our new Beachbody On Demand fitness and nutrition app. Just text the word FIRE to 303030 to get instant access to all $8,000 of our best-selling fitness programs like 21 Day Fix, Insanity, P90X, T25, and PIO. These programs really work, and this is your one chance to try them for free. Just text the word FIRE to 303030. That's FIRE to 303030 right now, and I'll send you your own free membership.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back with the Four Outdoorsmen, Stu Man Sam, and Mr. Lukey here, Brandon behind the glass. Thanks for joining us, everybody. It's going to be a hell of a show tonight. We already talked to Kurt Wahlbeck of Outdoor Bound TV. Kurt, for being on. But I'll tell you what, this is going to be special. Somebody I've talked to a couple of times already, Brian Butcher, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Every day's a gift, young man. I'll tell you what, when I started reading the story about you getting the 67-point deer, and when you first just read the story and do not see photographs or videos, I've seen a couple of interviews of yours as well, you are picturing a bush, a tree hanging on a deer's head. You're trying to figure out how they're going to get 67 points. But obviously, this is a different kind of breed of a deer. That is one hell of a story. We'll talk about that in a couple of seconds. Tell us about your background. How did you get involved in hunting and fishing?
You know, I grew up in Emporia, Kansas, born and raised, fished a lot as a kid. I was, you know, one of those kids riding the bike, holding the tackle box, holding the fishing pole in the other hand.
Yeah, cool.
And, just spent pretty much all my time outdoors. You know, we went on vacations every year in Colorado. As I got a little bit older, I was able to spend a couple of summers out there, lived with no running water and no electricity. And actually got to do a Boundary Waters trip as a kid as well. And then after I finished up school, I moved down to the Wichita area, and my boss was the one that introduced me into hunting. First hunting got into was bow hunting. And boy, it doesn't take long once you get that bug. You know, it's something that I've just been, you know, passionate about ever since then.
You know, I tell you what, you talked a little bit about the Boundary Waters, and we who live up here who are only 4 hours or so from the Boundary Waters don't realize how spoiled we are. And I've been up there many, many times, and every time I'm up there, I find somebody from some other state way far away from Minnesota, the Boundary Waters. And it's hard to believe that people from Kansas City and Oklahoma and all kinds of people come to the Boundary Waters. It's a great, great place to go, a destination if you haven't gone there. You talked about your first time you bow hunted. I've only bow hunted a couple of times. I got a deer with a recurve the first time I ever bow hunted, and I thought, this is a piece of cake. I never got one again, and I haven't bow hunted in 30 years, you know. But it's a whole different ball game. So you got into hunting as a result of your boss. Did you start with rifle hunting first, or were you always bow hunter?
No, started with a bow. And, you know, part of it was I didn't really have a place where I could rifle hunt much, honestly. And so getting into the bow hunting was kind of an open window for me, if you know, you can use that as an example. But we bought a bow, went turkey hunting the first spring. I shot a turkey with my bow, and ever since then it's just been, you know, that's primarily what I deer hunt with. I've used a gun and taken one deer, but it's something special about just being that close to the animals.
I would think so. I don't know what kind of winters you get down there, but I've only, again, the time that I bow hunted, I have a lot of friends who bow hunt or turkey hunt. And as much as a thrill it is to get an animal at that time of the year, it's nice being in the woods when it's 45, 50 degrees as compared to 15 degrees up here. So you can do that turkey hunting, but you can't do that rifle hunting or bow hunting. Well, you can do a bow hunting up here, but not rifle hunting up here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the deer you got. Okay, this, now we, I call it the, I saw a couple of videos. They're calling it, you know, the butcher buck. The butcher buck, I think, is what people are calling it. Had someone seen this deer, or had you seen this deer prior to the time you got your shot?
Not necessarily. We had trail camera pictures of it. Didn't realize it at the time from back in April. And, you know, we got the picture, sent it to a couple of buddies, and, you know, we just kind of looked at this and said, you know, what is this thing? And honestly, didn't see it the rest of the year. And, I mean, I'm lucky. That's all I can say. First hunt of the year, we went out there and I was going to hunt one area with some acorns. Luckily, cattle were out, so I bailed on that tree stand and went over to a different one. We actually trimmed out the shooting lanes in it the evening that I hunted. Had moved the stand the week before, and it was probably 30 minutes later, had one deer come in, and then he hung around for about 45 minutes, and then I bet it was probably 6 o'clock that the deer that I shot and one other buck came in, and didn't take long. Luckily, I was ready and caught him with enough time to get my bow ready, but it was right there in my hands, and I was lucky. The deer walks in, turns, you know, perpendicular 25 yards away, and offered a, you know, perfect broadside shot at 25 yards.
I could have gotten that deer. God.
You know, it was a layup, and it was just unbelievable, and, you know, not seeing it, as soon as I saw the deer, I stopped looking at the antlers and just focused on the body and tried to stay calm. And so as I walked up on this deer, I mean, my mind was blown. I just didn't even know what to think. And I don't know if you got the pictures. I sent you a couple of pictures just a little bit ago. And, you know, took the first picture, and I was just like, nobody's ever going to believe I shot this thing. And took one more and had my mouth open, probably looked a little silly. But the excitement and surprise was as real as anything.
Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Brian, Sam here. I was going to ask, how big was the body? How was field dressed? What was the weight?
You know, I've never weighed him. We field dressed him right away. But, you know, I would say it was big, but it wasn't enormous. You know, I really think that something happened to this, you know, right side, as, you know, either he shed the year before or just as he started growing.
Hmm. That's crazy. So I have a question for you. I'm a bow hunter myself. So every year you try and outdo the last year. You're just going to give that up, right?
Yeah, I think I'm done. But, you know, the cool thing is I've got one that I'm going after this year, and my son found the shed to it.
Is it an 80-point buck?
So it's nothing close. It won't be any records. But, you know, that's not why I go out in the woods. I've been bow hunting for 13 years. That was the fourth buck I've shot. I shoot a doe pretty much every single year. And, you know, if I get a mature, you know, buck, I'm more than excited to take that.
Hey, Brian, what are the laws down there in Kansas? Can you get, how many deer can you get? Can you get a doe and a buck? And did you pass up any deer that, you thought I had a shot at this deer, and the fact that you passed one of those deer up, you had a chance to get this monster?
Yeah, so in Kansas, you can shoot one buck each year, and then I believe it's up to four does.
Okay.
I've never shot that many, but, we rode in. A buddy was with me to start with that afternoon, and we trimmed out the shooting lanes. He drove off in the four-wheeler. I climbed in the stand, and like I said, it was about 30 minutes later, and, you know, I'll send a video of it, but pretty solid 9-point deer, wide rack, but it was the first hunt of the year. I wasn't going to shoot that thing, and I took videos of it for probably 30 minutes, but nothing compared to what I got.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you made the right decision, but how many times do a lot of guys like myself, or I hunted deer for many, many years up in Ely, Minnesota, right by the Boundary Waters, and you pass up It's a 10-day season, whatever it is right now, but you pass up one deer that's, it's a decent deer. I'm going to get one that has a better rack, and all of a sudden nothing ever shows up. If I saw a nine-pointer that was pretty decent, I might take him. Yeah, so that worked out really well for you. I can't believe that nobody else saw this deer live in the woods during deer hunting season down there, or maybe crossing a road. So you've never held a conversation with anybody else?
No, and I honestly think the deer could have come from the neighbor's property. They run a bunch of cattle over there, and there's some draws and a pond back in there. I mean, just the direction that he was coming from kind of makes me think that he could have been living over there, but they don't live on the property. That neighbor doesn't.
Yeah.
But,
so not any pressure there or anything like that. How about, go ahead, Mark.
So I want to know, what was the aftermath like? So you started telling friends that you shot a 67-point buck or whatever. What did they say? Were you in the newspapers? What was the whole aftermath like for shooting a deer like that?
Afterwards, I went back to a buddy's house, and we ended up, butchering up the deer and cleaning it. He had a couple of buddies come over, and so a few pictures leaked out. And I didn't post anything. I'm not the one that's usually going to go out there and say, hey, check this out, but I knew it was something cool and, just sent a few text messages to buddies. But one thing led to another. I ended up meeting the owner of Scent Crusher. One other thing that kind of happened was got a film crew that followed me around for a little bit, and they're trying to make a documentary. And so between the film and going to shows, and now shows are canceled. So that's come to a screeching halt. But was able to go to the Kansas Monster Buck Classic and won the King of Kansas there. The ATA show was very cool, something I'll probably never get to do again. But the Iowa Deer Classic, man, if you want to talk about a consumer deer show, that was amazing, I thought.
Go ahead. I saw your interview with somebody down there at the Iowa Deer Classic, whatever it's called, and he would, of course, he was on his knees genuflecting to you and all that kind of good stuff. It was pretty interesting, and that's the first time I actually saw the deer itself. But, you mentioned something that I'm surprised. Mark Lukey, my buddy over here, would not have done this. You said, you and your buddy took it to the garage and started butchering it. Mark would have ridden around town for about 4 days with this thing strapped on the hood of his car going to McDonald's,
Well, I got to run another errand. I'll hang out in Home Depot parking lot for a while.
I got to go to the beach,
And part of what made that even more difficult, or maybe even easier, but, as soon as we measured it, it was about 5 days later, and you measure a deer and come up with 340-some inches, you don't want to tell anybody. A professional measures it. And so I shot that on October 11th. It created some challenge, getting it scored. They required Boone and Crockett sent up Ken Witt from Texas. I mean, they were very specific,
He's a pretty big name, isn't he, in the scoring?
He was on the Brewster Buck panel, and it sounds like everything before that as well.
Okay, yeah. So it scored at originally, it says here, I read someplace, it scored 343 and 4/8. And I don't understand why it's 343 and 4/8, and then why not 1/2? I don't know why they do that. But now Boone and Crockett, I think you got a 321 and 3/8, right?
Yeah, so the 343 and 4/8 is the gross score, and 321 and 3/8 is the net score.
Okay.
It was a rather lopsided deer.
So, Brian, how much flack did you get on social media? Do you get a lot of people thinking it's fake or you raised it? Do you get a lot of that?
Yeah, but I'm not on there enough to have it bother me. It was probably, it was the weekend. So I shot it on Friday night, and Sunday I went to go pick the antlers back up from the taxidermist. And, he made comments like, this thing is everywhere, and like all over the country overnight type of a deal. Just completely blown away. And so Sunday night, my wife and I got online and looked at some of it, and it, you realize what social media can do. But I was pretty happy that my name wasn't necessarily tied to it, you know, that early in it. Not that I don't want to be tied to it, but I didn't want to be the guy out there speculating and trying to grab attention. I knew it would grab enough attention once we get through the measuring.
I didn't see any photographs of a full head mount. Did you have the head mounted as well, or just the rack?
It will be.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it's actually at Antlers by Klaus. They're making a mold and doing a reproduction. And then I've got I don't know what I'll do with the original antlers, but I'm going to keep those. And then they'll go to a panel score in 2022. But in the meantime, I'll get it mounted and then probably do a couple of magazine articles with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you're going to make some money somehow on this thing, aren't you?
You know... I'm a normal guy, and I tell you what, once people start hearing you shoot a 300-inch deer, they tell you you're going to be a millionaire. You're going to be set for life, and it's not like that, and I'm completely okay with it. You know, we'll see what I do with the original antlers, but boy, there was a lot of hype there at the beginning. Luckily, I was able to keep a pretty level head.
Attaboy. How does this rate? Now, this is a Kansas State record, correct?
Correct.
And how many inches did this surpass last record, the last number one deer in Kansas?
I want to say there might have been like a 280.
You're talking 50 inches.
260 with a bow. Yeah, it was pretty significant. But that being said, there was Mark Watson had shot a buck in Kansas, and I don't know if it just didn't make it in the books yet or what, but he was the former king in Kansas, and his was like 290, I think.
Man, oh man.
I don't remember what it was, but he's got a magnificent looking deer as well.
I've got a 157 on the wall from up in Ely, Minnesota, and I thought I was a stud when I was a young kid. It's about half of what you got there.
Well, you say that, and be the first one to admit that, you know, what's hanging on my wall is 140-inch deer, and I think I got 150-inch deer. But that's it. I mean, I think those are good deer, and I'm happy with every one of them. For me, each one of them has their own story.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that, our next guest is Billy Moles from, he's an Alaskan guide from Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. He's been an Alaskan guide for many, many years. And his big saying is always, it's not the destination, it's the journey. And I say that all the time, and I firmly believe it. And God works in funny ways. You can't control what walks in front of you. You know, you're a good hunter, you plan, you prepare and all of that, but you can't plan and that this thing is going to walk right in front of you. So there's reasons for everything. I'm so excited for you. And take it and run with it. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, it's allowed me a lot of opportunities to meet people I never would have had the chance, and I think for that, I'm probably the most grateful for.
You know, you met the four outdoorsmen. I'll tell you what, Brian Butcher, I'll tell you what, young man, and thanks for being on the show. I know you've been swamped and all of that, but we want to stay in touch, and I can't wait to see this thing live someplace, so hopefully it gets up to the Minnesota Deer Classic or something like that. But thank you very much for being on the four outdoorsmen. We'll stay in touch with you. Thanks for supporting us. We'll support you, and boys, be safe the rest of this summer, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care, buddy. Well, that's amazing.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It is
humble
crazy.
Dude, too. That's cool.
Yeah, I love that. This thing will probably be rated number three or four in the entire country. White-tailed deer.
It was fourth in the world I saw. So you said Mark would, you know, drive around with a strap of the hood. I would, too, and I'd be cranking Diuper's 30-point buck on the radio, windows down. Yeah,
like the Blues Brothers with a big speaker.
Did you see the 30-pointer?
Hey, be right back with Billy Moles. The modern-day mountain man, one of my good friends, Alaska guide. Man, I'll tell you what, this is going to be fun. You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust a Strew Man on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsman like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
5 miles south of Bemidji is Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park, and it's all about families with 8 cabins and 30 campsites. Lake Plantagenet is the home of the Minnesota record 3-pound, 4-ounce perch and a gill net survey with 19 walleyes per net, one of the very highest counts in the state. This place truly is a family dream. Find out why Balsam Beach Resort was awarded Resort of the Year in 2019. You can find their 2020 brochure at balsambeachresort.com, and we thank you.
Mark your calendar for the next Crocodile Productions Got a Knife show at the Anoka Ice Arena on Saturday, August 1st and Sunday, August 2nd. Open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. Admission is only $5 for adults. Kids under 12 get in free when accompanied by a responsible adult. Buy, sell, or trade guns, knives, military relics, even great-great-great-grandpa's old possibles bag. All in one location. Visit CrocodileProductions.com or check out their Facebook page for more information.
Hey, it's Neil here, and I want to talk about getting your home zero-res clean. To say your home has been lived in these last few months is probably an understatement, right? Have you assessed the damage? Dirty, grimy carpet, food stains, pet accidents, dust buildup on furniture? Well, now's the perfect time to give your home a deep clean. Call today, 952-0-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the Bob FM special, 3 rooms pre-treated and cleaned for just $139. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. Zero Res.
Hey, Bob Country, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life. And guess what? Summer has not been canceled. Fishing for Life has all kinds of events for you and your family. Virtual fishing classes where you can sign up as a family. You get to choose which class to go after, pike, bass, beginning panfish, or big catfishing. We train you over 3 nights of virtual, and then we assign a guide to you, and you get outdoors. Learn more and sign up at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Check out the latest in virtual golf. Get a $50 certificate for X-Golf and Champlin and Blaine for only $25. For more details, check out DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, the Four Outdoorsmen is back. Strewman, Lukey, Sam, Brandon behind the glass. Thanks for coming back, everybody. 7 years we've been doing the show, man. Have a lot of fun, and the biggest reason we have a lot of fun is because of guests like Billy Moles. Billy, welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Strew, man, other than your wife, has anybody kept you around for 7 years?
Hey, I'll tell you what, Billy, that's a good question because I couldn't live with me for 7 years. And I'll tell you, that's why my wife is closer to you right now than she is at me. She's in Chautauqua right now, and she's not coming home. She's not coming home. So I got to go visit her.
That's what makes a good marriage work, and that's why my wife and I are still married, because I'm gone about 150 days out of the year. That's the secret.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it is a secret. Billy Moles lives in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. We have a place in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. But my buddy Mark Lukey is renting a cabin not more than 45 seconds from where you are right now. But I'll tell you what, I got to say this one thing. Mark, Billy Moles has lived in a tent more years than your son has been alive. Billy Moles has lived in a tent, and I don't know why you even calculated this, Billy, a couple of years ago. For 8 years of his life has been sleeping in a tent.
Well, I've calculated it because my shoulders hurt in the morning, my back hurts in the morning, yeah. And I really appreciate waking up in a bed when it happens.
Oh, it's got to be a thrill when you he's gone for 3 months, about 6 months out of the year. 3 months home, 3 months home. Got a great wife, 3 great kids, and you're doing what you love. Boy, I tell you what, you're going back to Alaska August 1st, and is this the first time in your 20-plus years of guiding that you've taken a full year off?
I did it one other year. Yeah, there was one other year where I skipped a spring hunt. I don't remember what the circumstance was, but yeah. It's been kind of an odd deal. So, yeah, it's been, I guess it's been about 10 months since I've been out in the Alaskan wilderness. Yeah, I'm itching to get away, particularly in today's madness.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, Billy is he's building a house in not too far from Turtle Lake, Wisconsin right now on about 49 acres, and I had a chance to spend some time with him a couple of weeks back. And he's just like, when you sit on his screen porch, it almost looks like you are looking for moose in the Alaskan tundra right from your screen porch. It's a nice spot where you are, buddy.
Yeah, I think everybody else, they kind of look at that as just like a swamp. But, you know, swamp, you have a lot of unique wildlife. You know, obviously you got fur-bearing animals and ducks, and there's deer around, and we've got, like, tamarack trees, which are kind of rare. So, yeah, it kind of looks like Ontario wilderness. And then you get that fog in the valley in the morning, and it's like, I love water, don't get me wrong, and I love where you live in Chautauqua, and I grew up next to a lake on our farm where my parents live. But I don't want to hear a jet ski roaring. I'd rather have a bear digging in my trash can or something than the man-made noise. You know, I just love waking up and seeing, smelling, hearing nature.
Hey Billy, since this is you haven't been up there for like 10 months or so, you've been doing this for 20 plus years. Are you approaching this season any differently than you would have 3-4 years ago?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I would say the biggest thing for me that is changing for me is just is probably dealing with stress, diet. And it's like I don't necessarily work out anymore than I do or than I used to, but I'm just recognizing my priorities are shifting in life. You know, my kids are getting older. I think we all recognize that time seems to go by faster. You know, each year is seemingly more valuable to me that I get to leave. I almost look forward to it more. But also, I just feel I have stronger responsibilities at home to, you know, make sure my kids are all right, make sure that they have everything they need while I'm gone. But I also recognize as man, there's no better grounding or reassessment of or changing of my perspective in life than when I'm away. And also I tell my kids all the time, you know, there's nothing in life that if you want it bad enough, that not saying that you're always going to get what you want, but I would never want my kids to back down from their pursuing their dreams.
There you go.
You know, yeah, you've got to consider others. As long as you're not harming any other individuals, is never be ashamed of what you want to do, because I think that's, you know, I think God gives us all special gifts, special dreams. And if I'm going to tell my kids they should pursue their dreams, and if there's something in life they want to do, they need to do it. Well, the best way that I think that I can teach my kids is to go and do what I feel like I'm called to do and what I want to do. In the same regard, I you know, obviously I have an obligation to my wife and my children to take care of them and be a provider and a stable father and husband. So that balance seems to kind of get, I wouldn't necessarily say more difficult, but that balance seems to be more important. I don't worry at all about killing 40-inch rams and 10-foot bears anymore. I have enough confidence to know that, hey, I'm a decent hunter, pretty good. I'm a better guide than I am a hunter, I believe. But, you know, nature, that kind of takes care of itself. You know, there's only so much you can do in nature, because you can do everything right and still not kill a trophy animal. So you can't worry about that too much. So I'd say more than anything, that's what I worry about more, is just doing right by my family, at the same time, my clients while I'm up there.
I'll tell you what, the reason you were able to do this, you were extremely blessed. Again, Billy Moles, the modern-day mountain man, he's been an Alaskan guide for 20-plus years, and he's the real deal. He doesn't play games. He does his full-time and hardcore. But you're gone 6 months out of the year sometimes, and the reason you are able to do this, how blessed you are, you have a great support system at home with your wife. Is a wonderful lady. She's a great mom, and mom and dad are close by. So the kids have strength and love and assistance and things to do and great support when you're gone as well. So my guess is it'd be a lot more difficult if mom and dad were not that close, because mom and dad are both still healthy. They own all the land around there. They farm and stuff, and they're a great impression on your kids as well.
Oh, absolutely. To have, just like anything, you got to have a house, you got to have a foundation. I am very blessed, and to have my wife, who's been so supportive, And she's the rock. She's always there for the kids. You know, she helps me out in our business, our video sales, and she kind of handles a lot of the administrative stuff while I'm gone. But she's always there for the kids. And I'm not gone quite as much as I used to be. Yeah, I used to be gone 6 months out of the year. And I'm starting to tone that down a little bit. I travel, you know, speaking throughout the winter and throughout the year, you know, a day or two here and there anymore. Being gone a day or two is nothing for us. It's when we're gone months at a time. That's when it can get difficult. But, yes, you got to have a foundation, and kids need stability. And very, very blessed, and my wife is better than I deserve, no doubt about that.
I'll tell you what, Billy, again, is the Alaskan guy. He talked about his videos. I forget how many videos you have right now, how many seasons you have taped. But if you want to go to modern-day mountain band and just check out Billy's stuff, get every video you can, because you'll get absorbed in everything. Yeah, for sure. That my buddy Sam to my left just saw a number of yours in the last couple of days as well. And one of my favorite, of course, is called Hunt for the Unknown. Billy has had the opportunity to take his dad and his dad's best friend from high school to hunt caribou in Alaska. And these guys have been hunting for 55, 60 years together, give or take. And what a thrill to be able to take your dad there and his best buddy. I forget his best buddy's name. Met him a couple of times as well. But I just happened, you were nice enough to share with us the video you did called Face to Face with Don Johnson. And that's the first time, I'm guessing Face to Face, the reason it was named Face to Face, might be the first time in your 20-year career that you were faced with death. You were faced with something that you could not back up. You couldn't get away from. Would you talk a little bit about that video, Face to Face, and what happened in that situation?
Yeah, and the title kind of had like many meanings kind of throughout the video, but absolutely. So Don Johnson was a local guy. He was a farmer, kind of one of those guys that he had a dream, but it was always kind of a far-fetched fairy tale, you know, and finally got his kids through school, got into a position where he could afford it financially and just realized he wasn't getting any younger, so he signs up. We go on this caribou hunt. Well, to backtrack, Don, when he was a young kid, fell through the ice on the Mississippi River, and he almost drowned, and he was fortunate that he found a log as he's climbing up on the ice, and the ice is breaking under his arms. Luckily, he was in a backwater of the Mississippi, and there was this log that was stuck in the mud, but it angled up at an angle, and he was able to step on that log and climb his way out. It was almost divine that he had a log under his feet. And so he never really learned to swim, and so he's been afraid. His biggest fear in life was death by drowning. Of course, the old adage, what you fear, you create. Well, yeah. We go on this caribou hunt, get tons of rain. We go across this river because there's this hill that we could gain vantage point. Well, this river was no more than a creek when we got there. But because there was so much rain, the river was rising very rapidly. And so I knew it was dangerous to go across, but we had no elevation on our side of the river where we were camped. So long story short, these caribou, we see them, and I pursued this thing, these caribou, way farther than we should have. I told myself we were going to be back across the river by noon, but, you know, we got the caribou, and just a million things kind of went wrong, like they always do. Long story short, we are loaded heavy with a caribou. We don't get back to the river until, like, 6 p.m. By this point, the river is now, like, 3 feet higher than it was, or more than 2 feet higher, for sure, than it was when we crossed that morning, and one of the guys fell down, which wasn't a big deal. So we get into this river, and I go across first. It's deep. It's pretty scary. The other guys get across. Don goes last. Don's almost across, and the river is above his waist, but it's moving fast. And he has these trekking poles that he's using for stability. Well, one of the trekking poles breaks, and he gathers himself, and he had about two more steps to get through the deep channel, and he takes a step, and boom, down goes under. So Don's underwater, and he comes gulping, gasping up for air. I was downstream waiting for him just in case he fell in. And as he comes by me, he's kind of like a rubber ducky in that little floaty pond that you have at a fair, you know, and
yep.
It just goes around in circles. Well, that was Don. He's just floating by, and I go to grab him, and I try to pull him straight to the shore, and that was foolish. I should have been pulling him 45 degrees downstream, and I'd have probably gotten him out then. But the current was so strong and pulled him so quickly, next thing I know, he pulls me into the water with him. And Don, because of that inherent fear that he had his whole life of drowning, shock just takes over. And in that moment, I think in his mind, he was dead. You know, he just realized that I always knew I was going to die by drowning, and here I am. I'm down, dying by drowning. And I just realized that, man, if Don, he's got this heavy pack on, if I hang on to him, you know, I could die too. And in that moment, I just realized my wife and my kids, they flash into mind, and I just realized I've got a choice. I can let go, or I can hang on and try to save him. And that's where my faith came in. I just figured I was as right with God as I was probably ever going to be. And I felt I left my family in a good place that they knew who I was. My kids and my wife knew, my kids namely knew who I was. You know, my wife knows who I am. And I believe if I go today, I think my wife will still have loving memories of me. But, you know, I just wanted my kids to know who I stood for. And I felt like they knew that. Felt like I was right with God, and I just an instant decision as John and I were face to face, and he's just screaming at me, is this the end, and I'm telling him to take his belt off, his pack off, so we can get his pack off his body. I just realized that, like, in that moment, it's like I either let go or I hang on. And if my Christian faith, if I didn't have that, I don't know if I'd have had the balls to hang on. But I just decided in that moment, it's like, if Don dies, I die with him, so let's go. And by the grace of God, we were able to get out of there, but it was pretty nip and tuck. So, you know, the rest of it, there's still plenty to the story to be had there, but I've come close to death a few times, and I guess that's the allure of Alaska, is you're going into some place totally wild, totally untamed, nothing is guaranteed, and the wilderness owes you nothing, and you mean nothing there. There is a smallness that you feel there that either scares the hell out of you or it's addicting and you can't get enough of it.
You know, Billy's got a ton of stories, of course. You can check them all out on his videos if you go to the Modern Day Mountain Man website. But this one is called Face to Face, and I've seen every one of them. This is the most recent one, and this is the one where I was by myself, because when I'm watching this, Diana's at the cabin. And when I went to the cabin in Chautauqua, I brought this, and she watched it with me. And you just can't help but get involved with the conversations and retelling the story and all that. It was very emotional. And after 20-some years, I'm sure you went through a number of things, not quite as bad as this, but you face challenges every time you go to Alaska. Billy, we got about a minute left. I'll tell you what, the hardest thing you hunt in Alaska, I think you said, is doll sheep, right?
Physically, yeah. I'd say the hardest hunt is doll sheep. The most challenging hunt, I think, is grizzly bear and brown bear. As a hunter, that's the most challenging, but the most personally transformative and physically difficult is doll sheep that I do, yes.
You know, I'm sure, you know, Billy's a little bit over 40 years old, maybe 41, 42, in that general area, and he was talking about this for years. You could go up those angles in that shale up and down, and he'd chase these doll sheep for miles, and his knees are shot. He's only a young man. You can't do that very much anymore. I'll tell you what, you want to get a hold of Billy Moles and have any questions. He does seminars, he does speaking, a lot of things all around the country for the most part. Billy, how can some of our listeners get a hold of you?
Yep, BillyMolesAdventures.com. Probably the easiest way is just Google search Modern Day Mountain Man. You'll find my website will come up first. You'll find a bunch of YouTube videos and stuff. And yeah, the public speaking I do all over the world, whether it's corporate, Christian outreach, conservation. Because a hunting adventure in Alaska is just like life. Overcoming obstacles, leadership, teamwork, it's one of the greatest adventures you'll ever have in your life.
I love you, buddy. I'll tell you what, you know, you're leaving like August 1st and be gone for a couple of months. And by coincidence, what a coincidence, Stacy has already invited me about August 8th over there to sit on your porch and have a cocktail and look at that that swamp you have over there. So she'll be fine, Billy. She'll be fine. Don't worry about her, all right?
Oh, yeah, that's why she was so worried. She's like, Billy, are we going to get that bear rug before you leave?
Billy Moles, Modern Day Mountain Band, thanks for being my friend. Be safe. We'll stay in touch. We'll talk when you get back. And just thanks for being part of my life, young man.
All right. Thank you, Stru. Been a pleasure getting to know you. You guys take care, and thanks again.
You bet. I'll tell you what.
Wow.
You've got to see his videos. He's got a book called Alaska and Me, and I've read it. It's about his life growing up and how he became an Alaskan guide is a great story, but he's just an average guy. And when you sit down and go face to face with a guy like Billy Moles, who's only like, he might be 5'11", maybe 185, you think you should look at him, you know, The Rock. He's just an average guy. But
like
me? He's, but like you, yeah. But he's a hell of a guy, and he knows what he's doing, been very successful for a long, long time. Ready? We're going to wrap it up, pal. Thanks to Brian Butcher, and Kurt Walbeck, and Billy Moles, Modern Day Mountain Guide. It's been a fun show on the Four Outdoorsmen. But before we leave, Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.